Good morning, and happy Mother's Day. Thank you, Lenora. Thank you all for continuing to wear your masks as we work slowly back to no restrictions. In the next couple of weeks, all children's worship and all Sunday school classes will resume, and we have a great need for volunteers. Currently, we have 3 children's Sunday school classes that we do not have teachers for. And of course, we need adults for our 2-deep protocol in each room. The curriculum that we use is very easy. There is virtually no prep time required. The teacher's books look exactly like the children's, except for the fact that the teachers get to have the answers written on theirs. So it's ideally we would like long-term teachers, but our curriculum is set out in quarters, so we could do a rotating schedule of teachers by quarter. Please consider volunteering for one of these positions. Trust me, you will get so much more out of this ministry than you ever put into it. It's just so rewarding. The kids are such a joy. They will excite you. They will challenge you. They just warm your heart. That's all there is. So, Andrew, would you please lead us in our call to worship?
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Sing to the Lord because of the great things he has done. Let everyone who lives in Zion shout and sing. Israel's holy God is great, and he lives among his people. Let us sing our opening hymn, Faith of Our Mothers, number 203. We'll sing all stanzas.
Faith of our mothers living still, in cradle song and bedtime prayer, in nursery lore and fireside love, thy presence still pervades the air. Faith of our mothers living faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our mothers loving faith, fount of our childhood's trust and grace, oh, may thy consecration prove source of a finer, nobler race. Faith of our mothers loving faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our mothers guiding faith, for youthful longing, youthful doubt. How blurred our vision, blind our way, thy providential care without. Faith of our mothers guiding faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our mothers Christian faith, in truth beyond our stumbling creeds, still serve the home and save the church, and breathe thy spirit through our deeds. Faith of our mother's Christian faith, we will be true to thee till death.
May we bow for a moment of prayer. Lord God, creator of all things, this morning we give special thanks for all the Christian women in our lives. We thank you for their strength of character, their loving guidance, and for the many sacrifices they have made and continue to make for us. We ask that we may, by example, have a positive impact on others, remembering always that we, as Christians, should be a reflection of your great love and mercy. We ask for your guidance as we navigate through the coming post-COVID days, that we not let our impatience to return to our pre-COVID days cause us to act hastily. We seek your will in our lives and the life of our church. We are grateful that in spite of anything the world says or does, we are able to come to you in prayer and worship and know that you are always there for all who call on your name. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Take a moment to greet each other before taking your seats.
Good morning, folks. Welcome each of you to the Lord's house on this beautiful Mother's Day. As we come to our time of prayer, we lift up a number of folks within our church family, as well as from our communities and the more global nation and world. We'll start with a word of praise. I was just informed during our middle service, John Adams is now cancer-free after a number of months of treatment. We also extend our sympathy to Dorinda Hoke as her father, Kenneth Fouts, passed into the Lord's presence on Tuesday of this past week. The number of members that we've been praying for that include Rhonda Harris, Joan Casebolt, and Marcia Diedrich, all recovering from recent surgeries. Grace Kimmerling, who is in hospice care at her home. Jill Gregory, who's in hospice care at Heritage Village. Doris O'Neill, who's recovering from foot surgery. Dottie Olson, who was here in the previous service with her ongoing back issues and concerns. Jerry Treese for his undergoing treatment for cancer. Of course, Michelle Jacobo and Michelle Bosworth. Family members that we've been remembering in prayer include Savannah Gorman, who's the granddaughter of Kathy Gorman, treatment for tumors around her thyroid and lymph nodes. Dan Curtwright and his wife, Lori. Dan is dealing with thyroid cancer. He's a son of Rosa Curtwright. Lexi Ims is the granddaughter of Betty Donahue. Anna Hex, cousin of Edna Williams, who's in the ICU at the Methodist Hospital in Houston. Rihanna Ralston, who's the granddaughter of Ruth Ann Solomon, who was here first service. Ruth Ann was, not Rihanna. Rihanna was supposed to have had surgery this past week, but she got sent home because she had pneumonia. So she was certainly looking forward to relief that this surgery was going to bring, but despite her disappointment, we need to still keep her in our prayers. Carolyn Comfort is Cindy Sexton's stepmother, who is undergoing chemotherapy. And a number of friends that we've been remembering, Avis and Terry Ogden of Kennewick, Washington. They are friends of Elizabeth Carroll. And Terry is dealing with inoperable cancer. And a dear friend of Barb Mayberry's, Taylor Myers, was recently hospitalized with some health concerns. Of course, we want to be mindful in prayer as well for all of our troops stationed overseas and away from their own families during this Mother's Day. With all these in mind, may we take a few moments of silent prayer and meditation. Help us, O God, to not be so caught up in our own busyness that we are blinded to the needs of those for whom this season of spring and Mother's Day might be especially difficult. Enable us to be candles in the dark to persons who are lonely, to those struggling with disease and illness, to those who grieve the loss of their mother, or to a mother who grieves the loss of her child, to those who have no place to call home, to those who are worried and anxious about the future, to those who are alienated from the ones they love, to those who are victims of oppression, injustice, and violence. Merciful God, you've provided the source of our hope and our healing through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and through your gift of the Holy Spirit, who teaches us all things and reminds us of everything Jesus has taught. Your presence continually reminds us of our connectedness to one another and to you, our God. Lead us as we love and support those who have needs within our midst, those named on our prayer list, as well as those unmentioned, yet just as important, as we remember their needs as well. Comfort us, loving God, as we struggle with our current times of social restriction, and certainly as we mourn the many losses caused by the global pandemic. And lead us now out of the isolation and into a new sense of normalcy as we work toward resuming our many faith traditions, and help us to do so thoughtfully, planfully, and safely. Lead us in advocacy as we seek ways to help those who are oppressed, who struggle with injustice, and who want nothing more than to feel valued, loved, and safe. Guide us now, O God, as we pray together the prayer taught by our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
M is for the million things she gave me. O it means only that she's growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. R means right, and right she'll always be. Put them all together, they spell Mother, a word that means the world to me. M is for the million things she gave me. O means only that she's growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. R is right, and right she'll always be. put them all together, they spell mother. A word that means the world to me.
Thank you, Andrew. In Proverbs 31, 30 and 31, it says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty disappears, but a woman who honors the Lord should be praised. Give her credit for all she does. She deserves the respect of everyone." We often celebrate Mother's Day with a gift of flowers. As small children, we picked special flowers, better known as clover and dandelions, and proudly presented them to our mothers. As we get older, there are those flowers that, for various reasons, always remind us of our mother. We truly enjoy the beauty of flowers. We plant flower gardens, small container gardens, window boxes and flower beds, and even pollinator gardens, as we are doing here at Berry. The morning was chilly, but the kids were eager, so we planted flowers. And we learned some fun facts and warmed with hot cocoa when the job was complete. And I want to thank Brooks, Ivy Joe, Molly, and Kit for starting our garden. I want to thank Ron Wolf for tilling the garden so that we could get it going. And I want to thank everyone who has contributed to our garden. By now, everyone should have received an email, snail mail, or phone call, or possibly two or three of those. Please read those thoroughly, as they should answer most of your questions. A quick recap of the timing plan goes like this. Today, no social distancing, but we still have to wear our masks. This applies to everyone 5 years old and older. We have no capacity restrictions, so you no longer have to call in and make reservations. On Sunday, May 16th, this will be our final Sunday with 3 worship services. Sit where you like, but still wear your masks. And I will resume the children's sermon with our children at the front of the church. Jim and I will be welcoming our children, ages 4 through 4th graders, back to Children's Church after the 8:30 and 11 o'clock services. Sunday, May 23rd, the nursery will open for infants and children through age 3. We return to traditional worship times of 8:30 for church, 9:45 for all Sunday schools, and 11 o'clock church. For our first Sunday back in Sunday school, the children will assemble in the fellowship hall so we can have a time of meet and greet, reacquaint yourself with each other, your teachers, maybe meet new teachers. And this will also give us an opportunity to remind everyone about all of the classroom rules and the safety protocols. A family information and registration sheet must be filled out for every family who have children, small children who will be attending, and a medical release card for every child before the children return to church. I'm mailing most of these out this week. Children 5 and under must wear masks. Sunday, May 30th, we will be fully back to our traditional services. And are we not looking forward to that? But we still have to wear masks. So, and all Sunday schools will be back in their own classes. We are doing some restructuring of our children's church and Sunday school. The classes, we're doing this in order to present a more cohesive and a more consistent experience for our children. And again, we really need people to help out. Please consider signing up. As it says in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And I almost did it again. Please join me in the responsive reading. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Sons and daughters, pay attention to what your father and mother tell you. Now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Our hymn of contemplation this morning is I Need Thee Every Hour. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, please.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, teach me thy will, and thy rich promises in me fulfill. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
As you likely know by now, Pastor Dennis and Carrie took a road trip to Minneapolis to see their new granddaughter for the first time and to attend her baptism in the Catholic Church where Jonathan and Natalie are members. It's about an 8-hour road trip, and it reminded me of a story about a retired couple who took a similar road trip. I think I shared this story with you once before, but I believe it was about 6 or 7 years ago. And many of you were not here then, so I'd like to share this story again. Well, this retired couple on their road trip were about halfway to their destination. They stopped at a little roadside diner, enjoyed a nice lunch and some coffee, then got back in their car and resumed their trip. After about an hour, the husband asked his wife to look at the map and see how much further was the next town. It was then that his wife discovered that she'd left her reading glasses back at the diner, and she couldn't see the map. Well, the husband became the classic grouchy old man. He got off at the next exit and headed back to the diner to fetch his wife's reading glasses, knowing this little deviation would add about 2 hours to their road trip. He fussed and complained and scolded his wife relentlessly for being so forgetful. The more he chided her, the more agitated he became. He just wouldn't let up for one single minute. Finally, to her relief, they arrived back at the diner. As the woman got out of the car and began walking inside to retrieve her glasses, her husband rolled down his window and said, "While you're in there, you might as well pick up my hat and the credit card." Please don't tell Dennis that this story reminded me of him. May we offer up a word of prayer. Almighty God, we gather in your name to hear your word. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in your house, as we understand there are many congregations who cannot be present together. May the message today be blessed by you now and always. Amen. A couple of scripture readings I want to share with you. The first from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 48. These are Mary's words after she learns that she is pregnant with Jesus. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." The second scripture comes from John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. This occurs as Jesus carries his cross toward his crucifixion at Golgotha. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And to the disciple he said, "Behold your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her, Mary, into his home. And of course, we recognize the disciple that Jesus loved as the disciple John. I chose these scriptures for this Mother's Day service as they represent both the beginning and ending of Mary's physical motherly connection with her son Jesus. Of course, this wouldn't be a Mother's Day sermon without mentioning the history of Mother's Day. Its roots, of course, date back to the Greek and Roman cultures, and then through 1600s English Catholicism. But it was a woman named Anna Jarvis, whose mother died in 1905, who thought up the idea of Mother's Day, as we know it here in the United States, to honor the sacrifices that mothers make for their children. She had remembered a Sunday school class taught by her mother, in which her mother had said, "I hope and pray that someone, sometime, will found a memorial Mother's Day. There are many days for men, but none for mothers." So through Anna Jarvis's lobbying of prominent businessmen and politicians, in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a measure officially establishing the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. But Anna Jarvis quickly grew disgusted with the commercialization of Mother's Day and eventually denounced the selling of flowers, cards, and candy, as her primary focus was to be a more personal celebration between a mother and her family and not a way for sellers to make a profit. And here's a little trivia for you. Did you know that Anna Jarvis was herself never married and had no children? I imagine it was her grief over losing her own mother and her desire to fulfill her mother's wish that prompted her to create this special day that we now know as Mother's Day. There are a number of mothers in the Bible that deserve mention on this Mother's Day of the year 2021. Jochebed. Her name wasn't mentioned but a few times in the Bible, but you've probably heard of her son, Moses. Ever heard that name before? Moses? Jochebed gave birth to Moses during a time when Pharaoh had decreed that all baby boys be cast into the Nile River because he thought the Hebrews might become too powerful. Jochebed kept Moses a secret for several months, but as all you mothers know, and fathers too, when a baby decides to cry at 2 o'clock in the morning, ain't no stopping it, right? It's kind of hard to keep a crying infant a secret very long. So Jochebed concocted a plan to create a waterproof basket and float her baby down the river and into the arms of Pharaoh's daughter. And with the help of Moses' older sister Miriam, who helped mastermind this whole plan, Pharaoh's daughter found Moses just floating along. She adopted Moses, and then again with the help of Miriam, she found Jochebed and assigned her the tasks of caring for the baby Moses, even as Pharaoh's daughter held the official title of mother. So moms, how many of you could set your three-month-old baby afloat on a river with no assurances of safety or even knowing the outcome? I don't think I could. Jochebed may have only had two short verses in the Bible, but where would the Hebrew faith be without the faith of Jochebed? Another biblical example of motherhood is, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and we'll come back to her in just a few minutes. But I want to shift gears for a moment and tell a few personal stories about some mothers I've known and who demonstrated great faith despite not so great circumstances. These are true stories of real moms that I've worked with in my other career as a clinical social worker. The first is the mother of a little boy named Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a student of mine when I worked in a behavioral school about 12 years ago. This was a private special education school for children who could not function in a mainstream public school. Jeremiah came to us as a cute 8-year-old boy who was, let's just say, quite the handful. He was highly influenced by gang members in his inner-city neighborhood. They were his heroes. Despite his desire to be a thug, as he liked to call himself, we would often tell him he wasn't a very good thug because he still had a huge heart of gold. Jeremiah was fiercely loyal to his mother. Any mention of his mother in a positive light made this little boy's face light up like a Christmas tree. But say something negative about his mama, it would never turn out well. When Jeremiah was having a bad day at school, we would often call his mother to come and talk him down. And when she came, we didn't tell Jeremiah she was coming, so he was quite surprised to run into her in the hallway with his pants sagging gang style. And his demeanor would change like a light switch from mean to meek as soon as he saw his mother standing there, given that look that only a mother can give. Sadly, in June of 2018, then 16-year-old Jeremiah lost his life to gunshots from a rival street gang. He'd been on track for early graduation and a potential football scholarship. He was just that good. At his funeral, his mother did one of the strongest things I could have ever imagined. She stood up in front of a few hundred attendees and gave her son's beautiful eulogy. I guarantee I could not have done what she did. Shortly after Jeremiah's funeral, his mother moved out of state to stay with some family members and go through the processing of her grief. But she kept hearing the voice of her little boy calling her back to Kansas City to do something about the problem of gun violence on the streets. So she did. She moved back to Kansas City and joined forces with a number of groups such as the Ad Hoc Group Against Crime. It was this grieving mother's way of coping and redirecting her profound sadness to help make positive change. And it was also through her son's untimely death that she found her way to the Christian faith, where she sought hope, solace, and relief. She still maintains that faith to this day. Jeremiah's mother turned her grief into action and advocacy. I was with another young mother with her 6-year-old son in a room at St. Luke's Hospice House a number of years ago. Logan was born with a number of complex and mostly incurable health conditions, including heart and neurological issues. He was not expected to live past 2 years, but he made it 6. Logan's mother is a person of deep faith, so much so that as Logan lay dying on that bed in Hospice House, wearing his cute little dinosaur pajamas, his mother, who was also the leader of worship and praise music at her church, led the room full of visitors in spirited worship and praise. You should have seen the looks on the faces of passersby of Logan's hospice room, wondering why all these people are singing so joyously on such a sad occasion. You see, to this mother, her son's death was not the end, but it was the beginning of a life free from pain and physical limitations. Oh, sure, there are plenty of moments that this mother grieves and mourns the loss of her son, and so do I. Through this mother's faith, she was able to focus not on her loss, but on her son's release from his many burdens and on the joy of her son transitioning into the Lord's presence. Logan's mother turned her grief into praise, and in doing so, she and her family discovered a profound sense of peace. I said earlier that we'd come back to Mary, the mother of Jesus, so I'll read again from the book of John the final words of Jesus to his mother that express his care and concern for her. As Jesus was dragging his cross toward his crucifixion, John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27 tell us, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." meaning not Jesus himself, but the disciple John, who was not her son, not by nature nor adoption, but who would show himself as a son by his filial affection for Mary, his care for her, and his honor and respect unto her. And to the disciple John he said, "Behold your mother." And from that time on, the disciple John took Mary into his home. I noticed something in this exchange. Mary did not once open her mouth, didn't say a word. I'm thinking that if I was being crucified that day, my mother would have been pitching a fit. Wouldn't you, if that was your kid? She might say, "Yeah, he's not perfect. He's a jerk sometimes. He's lied a few times." Well, okay, maybe more than a few times. He's had a few speeding tickets, and I'm pretty sure he's used the accounts and descriptions of a Major League Baseball game without express written consent. He's not perfect, but don't kill him. But Mary didn't say anything. I think because she knew who her son was. She'd seen him turn water into wine and many other miracles. Think about that. Wouldn't it be cool to have a kid that can turn water into wine? Think of the money you could save at dinner parties. And for those who don't drink wine, maybe he could take some water and muster up some Diet Coke and a bag of pretzels. Wouldn't that be kind of cool? Yes, Mary knew who her son was. And when her son was 12 years old, he was already preaching in a temple. And he managed to ditch his parents for 2 days. I could never ditch my parents for 2 hours when I was that age. And yes, I did try. Can you imagine the panic in Mary's heart when she realized Jesus wasn't with the caravan? I mean, here she was entrusted with God's son, and she lost him. So she hightails it back and finds him in a temple and says, "Where have you been?" And according to Luke chapter 2, verse 49, her son Jesus responds, "Don't you know? I must be about my father's business." That line may have worked for Jesus, but it would never have worked for me. My mother would say, "I'll show you your father's business. Now you get in that house." Because my mother knew I was not virgin born, and she also knew that my father would be home from work soon. But Mary knew that Jesus was virgin born. She knew her son very well, and she knew what her son had to do. Why was Mary's son being crucified? Because he said words like, "When you see me, you've seen the Father." They didn't crucify him because he committed some crime. He didn't rob or kill anybody. Yeah, he got busted a couple times working on a Sabbath, but he always had a great alibi. I'll let you all look that one up. And remember that by this time, most of Jesus' friends had run the other direction. They'd abandoned him. But not his mother. Not Mary. She stuck with him. She stuck with her son until the bitter end. Just like most mothers that I know. Mary's testimony that day as she watched her firstborn son preparing to die on that cross was a testimony of silence. And sometimes silence can speak volumes. And on that day, despite Jesus' excruciating physical agony, he was concerned about the welfare of his mother and the pain she was experiencing. Even in death, Christ was focused on spiritual matters and on his mother. I think the story of Mary at the cross of her son Jesus may be one of the most powerful stories of a mother's unconditional love for her child and of a son's fierce loyalty and love for his mother, as he showed even with his dying breaths. So, folks, do you know Christ? In a personal way? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? If not, we would love to help make that happen for you today in a way that we know your life can be transformed. Or perhaps you've already accepted Christ, but find yourself away from your church home. If you would, if so, you would be welcome to join us here at Berry Christian Church and potentially make this your church home. Would you come forward, and I'll meet you here at the front and lead you through the Great Confession. As we sing our hymn of invitation, Living for Jesus, we'll sing all stanzas of number 610. Would you stand, please?
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading, and give Him my all. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of His smile. Seeking the lost ones, He died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in Him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Well, folks, thank you for your presence here this morning and for putting up with me during Pastor Dennis's absence. Again, we're delighted to begin opening up our services to include our children's ministries. So next Sunday, we will be offering a children's sermon here at the front, and we'll be able to invite our children to join us for a children's worship service, as we have done for so many years before the pandemic. We are pretty excited to see more of our youngest among us. Thank you, Lenora and Andrew, for your music ministry this morning, for sharing that gift with us, and thank you, Kathy Connell, for your assistance with worship as well this morning. And I thank each of you for your presence here in the Lord's house on this Mother's Day of 2021. Pastor Dennis and Carrie should be returning in a few days, and they'll be with us again on Sunday. And I suspect they'll have just a few pictures to share. Maybe close with a word of prayer. Holy God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to worship, to share praise and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Guide us on our journeys forward today and this week, and may we contemplate and celebrate the relationships with our own mothers and our own children on this Mother's Day of 2021. It is in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Peace be upon you and guard you forever. Go in the knowledge that God is with you. Peace be upon you and guard you forever. Go in the knowledge that God is with you. Go in the knowledge that God is with you.